Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Hi there, everybody. Thanks for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening. So glad you chose to listen. I wanted to share with you some of the things that will be coming up on Inner Voice in the near future. I have a pretty exciting lineup, and so I just want to share it with you. I do want to let you know that next week we will have Abigail Eaton Masterson here. Abigail Eaton Masters is out of the UK. She's written a book called The Way of Honor. She's a wonderful website. Check it out. And it's all about connecting with that those things in us that are about the sacred and about how we want to be in our world and in our lives. I'm reading her ebook right now, and she just has this wonderful way of connecting with her audience and making everyone's story feel heard and seen. And so I'm really, really looking forward to having her on the show. I was also gifted with a reading by Abigail, and she has a wonderful way of using her creative visualization as part of the reading. And she really connects with the images that connect with you, and it was quite powerful. So I really am looking forward to having her on the show on June 12th. And then on June 19th, Michael O'Malley will be on. Michael O'Malley is out of the CBUS area, and right now he's writing a wonderful book all about meditations for unplugging from consumer culture and from the media and from the computer. He's got 128 meditations about just how to do that. I was able to hold his book the other day at the coffee shop in my hands. It was really an exciting thing to do. And he's really got a lot of information, too, about myth and about sacred stories and about archetypes and all the stuff that I know that you listeners really love to hear about. So I'm really looking forward to having him on and sharing his book and his vision. And then on, let's see here, July 10th, Tony Gilbert will be on. Tony Gilbert has written several books on archetypal tarot reading, and I'm so excited to have her on. I read about half of her book this afternoon, and she really deals with unconscious content and archetypes and all of these sorts of structures of personality, and she brings all of that into her readings. And I actually wrote to her and just said, that she deals with the reading before the reading. And so I'm just really excited to have her on to share all of the lenses and ways that she looks at the tarot. And she uses it clinically with counseling. So that's just really exciting to see. But because, as you know, for listeners who've listened to the show, I do intuitive counseling as well. And so I'm just really excited to have her honor that lens and that way of looking. And we know that tarot can be a great tool for divination, but it also can be a wonderful tool to get people to open up and tell stories and connect with their unconscious or the stories that they're holding in themselves and to have resonant experiences that shift them. And so Toni is going to tell us all about that when she shares the hour with me on July 10th. So I'm really excited for that. Then C. Michael Smith is going to be on July 24th. C. Michael Smith is a shamanic practitioner, and he is also a Jungian analyst. He has spaces in France, and I believe he does work out of Africa, South Africa as well. But for folks in the United States, he has a wonderful place called the Crow's Nest, which I'm going to get to go see here pretty soon. And he does wonderful workshops on shamanic work, on sacred holotropic breath work, all sorts of different kinds of modalities that can help your clients to achieve inner peace, to reclaim parts of themselves. And also for folks who are listening out there, he has wonderful workshops for you to use these tools for yourself as well. So I really look forward to having him on. I just got his two books on interlibrary loan, and I am getting ready to peruse them now. So I wanted to let you know that those things are coming up on Inner Voice, and I also wanted to take a minute to let you know that Tom Lesher was going to be on tonight. He is not going to be on this evening. Some pretty exciting things are happening in his life, and when he is on in August, I spoke with him and was in contact with him, and when he is on in August, he'll tell us more about that. So for folks who don't know Tom Lesher, he does wonderful work. He is out of Hawaii. He does a wonderful thing called the Pele Report, which I encourage you to look up on YouTube. And it's an astrological forecast that's based on the idea of evolutionary astrology. So it's based on the idea of a felt sense experience that the whole culture or many, many people have of astrology. So it isn't based so much on your personal astrology as it is on interplanetary and community astrology and things that people are going through. He just has a wonderful, wonderful way of telling stories and a wonderful way of making meaning and making what we're going through so resonant and so helpful. He's so helpful. So anyway, those are some really great guests that are coming up on Inner Voice. I'm going to try to have Kanza Bosniak back. She was here in the fall, last fall, talking about her book, The Cancer Journals, and also she had a workbook about how to not overeat and about addictions. And I really look forward to having her back on the show. So just keep abreast of what's on, because there's some pretty exciting things coming up. I've really worked to get guests who have kind of a Jungian approach or an archetypal or transpersonal psychology approach, specifically in the work they do this summer. That would include Tom Lesher, C. Michael Smith, and Toni Gilbert, who does archetypal work as well, although she doesn't call it Jungian. So folks who are not familiar with Jungian work, it's all about connecting with archetypes. These are stories that we are destined to tell on a biochemical level and on an innate inner level. We're destined to tell these stories and to play them out. And often our lives have a tendency to have patterns where we feel like there are things that we repeat in our lives. If you guys are familiar with the really popular movie What the Bleep Do We Know, it talks a lot about this idea of repeating certain behaviors or repeating patterns in one's life. And we know that some of the need, the unconscious need to repeat these patterns has to do with telling a story, telling what Jung called the idea of complex content, having a complex, which means that we tell the story the same way again and again and again until we get better tools and more awareness to be able to shift our relationship to the other characters in the story. So that is a lot about what archetypes are about. And many of the metaphysical modalities that we use, tarot, runes, and things, tap into these symbolic awarenesses and images and archetypes and help us to connect with our unconscious, help us to connect with our intuition. So that's a really, really cool thing. I have something called a thunder shirt on my cat, which is a calming device, and I'm going to take it off of her right now. And then I will, with no further ado, share what is coming up on the hour. I have some really cool stories to share with you about working with and understanding the archetype of the bully and some of my own shifting perceptions about that, as well as I also want to encourage folks who are listening to the show for the first time tonight to follow Inner Voice Intuitive Hour. If you like the stories that you're hearing here and you like the delivery and the presentation of what I'm talking about, just click follow, and that way I will be able to keep you abreast of what's happening in future shows, of when those guests are coming on. I also encourage you to check out innervoiceintuitive.com, and I just have started putting out a monthly newsletter. The first one was all about focusing, which is a way to get into a deeper heart-centered connection with your with your feelings and your purpose. So I encourage folks to go and just check out the website on that first page there. You can just fill out your email information, and I will make sure that you get that first copy of the newsletter and get on that rotation. Also, I just put out an ebook called Chakra Balancing for Every Body and Soul, and it's kind of a workbook. You can download it off of the newsletter. There's a place to do that and make a little workbook out of it if you want. And it goes through the chakras and talks about how to meditate and be more aware of the energies that are associated with each chakra and how to notice where you're at and what chakras are energetically powerful for you, maybe which ones you're ignoring a little or less aware of in your life, and how to shift your understanding of that. So I encourage you, too, to check out that ebook. So just go on and find out innervoiceintuitive.com, and I will make sure that you get that. I also want to talk tonight, like I said, a little bit about the archetype of the bully. I had a very interesting experience, and for those of you out there who have struggled with understanding or maybe trying to understand the bully a little too much or extend a little bit too much empathy at the expense of your own soul self, at the expense of your own truth and your own awareness and your own maybe even safety, I send out love to you, and I send out support for your story, and I want you to know that you're not alone and that everybody in their life experiences coming in contact with a bully. The more that we have an awareness of how the bully functions, and the more that we move from a place of awareness and to a certain extent empathy but neutrality, right, so distance, the more that we can reclaim our own story and not allow bullies to affect us. I'm just going to tell you a story about what happened to me today. I am very, very fond of water aerobics, deep water aerobics. I love it. It's my passion. I feel different in my life with it. I get more done. I feel better about everything I do. Anyway, I take classes, but the classes that I take don't go through the summer. So I've been looking for classes. If you hear that, that's water in the background. Just getting a glass of water. I've been looking for classes to take deep water aerobics, and I've been scouring the city where I live, and I just recently found a class, and so I went out there, and I got waitlisted, and I was trying to get into this class, and I had been told many different things. It didn't seem like everyone was on the same page at the place. I'd been told that it was different prices. I'd been told that I did have to be a member, that I didn't have to be a member, kind of the runaround. But I was willing to go through all the, you know, perseverations, all the steps, because I really, really wanted to take the class. So I went into the class this morning. I was an hour early, and I had to kind of pitch to the instructor that I should be able to be in the class. And I was sitting there and waiting and reading, and I got to the point where the instructor, I realized who the instructor was, and I walked up to her and asked her, told her who I was and said, you know, I wanted to get in the class, and she said, are you on the list, on the wait list? And I said, I should be. I spoke to someone yesterday, and they assured me that I was. Well, it turned out that they hadn't written down my name and that I wasn't. And so there was all this, like, kind of hemming and hawing about whether or not I should get in the pool and all this stuff about, are you a member, aren't you a member? And I said, I'm not a member. And then she just kind of, like, looked at me hard, and then she said, well, if you're a member, you can get in the pool. And then she just kind of said, get in the pool. So I kind of got the feeling that it was kind of catch as catch can, and I would get in the pool and see what happened and maybe come back a couple times and see what happened. But then she said, but when you get in the pool, since you're waitlisted and you're not in the class, you have to get on the other side of the rope. So the class is a deep water class, and we had to stay on the other side of the rope. So I was like, okay, fine. You know, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to be in this class. I really want to be in it. So me and three other really lovely ladies were on the other side of the rope. And it was funny because the class was supposed to be for 12. I had been told that the class was bigger than that and that the instructor cut it down to be smaller. And then there were four spots there. So four people didn't show up, which to my way of thinking would just be, well, you know, then these other people fill in the spot. But that's okay. So, but it was odd that she made us, even though there was space in the deep end of the pool, she made us be on the other side of the rope in the shallow water. And it was just very, very odd. Slowly, I began to feel like there were these people who were chosen on the one side of the rope in the deep water class, and there were we, and there were many things. I mean, it wasn't just a feeling, and she did things that reinforced this idea that we weren't as important or we weren't worth attending to as much, and she kind of started calling us out. So it was just very, very interesting because I could tell that energetically she really had believed that people who were members and that people who were signed up for the class were more important and worth more than people who weren't members or hadn't specifically signed up for the class yet, were waitlisted. And it was just the oddest experience because usually when I've been in that situation, I am trying to make concessions or I am trying to understand the perspective of the person who's feeling these things, or I am, or in my earliest experiences with this kind of an energy, I have been not wanting to deal with it at all, having blind spots so that I didn't have to deal with the pain of being told that because I wasn't in the group, I was less than. So we understand from Jungian psychology that the more that we start to reclaim our projections, our projective content, which is what the stories that we tell in the world about people, the more we're able to do that, the more we can shift the energy that we feel when we get in a situation that's loaded. So I knew that this was a situation that was loaded because this woman was really uncomfortable with the fact that there was anyone on the other side of the rope. She would have liked it if there had only been 12 participants, no one had been waitlisted, and it had just been like that. She didn't know what to do with us because we were the outliers. We were the people who were different. We hadn't followed the rules. And it was just really interesting because I've never had, well, first intuitively, I was just like really getting a download about energetically who this woman would be if she was in a different situation. And now we don't know what her backstory is, of course. And it could be, you know, that she's experienced a lot of pain in her life and that her way to feel better is to follow the rules and to make sure that she's dotted all her I's and crossed all her T's and that everybody has to fit into the group. And we know that energetically, when those are the things that people are most concerned about, that oftentimes that the heart-centered piece goes out the window. The fact that she can't look and see that there are four spaces and that people could be in those spaces, and then she could deal with it when other people showed up the next week. So it was just really, really interesting, and I thought, this is the kind of experience, this slow, methodical devaluing of people that leads to actual, that can, in the right circumstance, if she had, say, been not a water aerobics instructor, but been in a situation like Nazi Germany or something like that, this slow pointing out of people and saying these people are the right people, they've done it the right way, they're the good people, they've followed the rules, they deserve X, Y, and Z, and these people over here don't. We know that when we have people who are followers and they're concerned with following rules, very, very scary things can happen. And energetically, I was getting the feeling that she just really couldn't take in the idea that it's not anyone's fault that we weren't on the list, and that from a heart-centered perspective, just let the people in, and that it'll work itself out. But this whole being behind the line and being in the shallow water, and just slowly, I mean, like, she didn't seem to want to come over. There was music playing, and so it was hard to hear, and she didn't seem to want to come over to the shallow water to tell us what to do. She seemed to want to ignore us, like, she didn't want to be bothered with us. And then on top of it, she wanted us to go away. Like, I stayed right by the rope because I wanted to show her that I was very invested in being in the class. So I stayed right by the rope so I could hear her, so I could follow the steps. And a lot of the people actually in the deep water weren't even doing the exercises very much. They weren't very engaged. And so I was very, very engaged, and I was trying to be, you know, A number one pupil, so she could see that I was interested in the class, et cetera, and so forth. So, I don't know, perhaps she would like that. But she kept coming over and saying, you guys need to go do this exercise over there. And she would move her hand, and, you know, it was clear that she wanted us to go away. It was clear from her body language that she really wanted us to go away. And so I didn't go away, which that was an interesting thing in and of itself. And then at the very, very tail end of the thing, she came over and there was an exercise that we were supposed to do. And I was doing it wrong because I was imagining that it was something different than what it was. And she called me by name and said, Jenny, this is the way we do this exercise. And I thought, oh, my gosh, like, I don't even know if I want to be in this class because this is just energetically a lot to deal with. But it was just so clear to me through these different stages of experiencing that she did not see us as fully, not fully human, of course, but she didn't see us as fully worthy of being where we were. And that's the kind of languaging, that's the kind of experiencing that some, and it was really funny because there was one lady in the class who kept saying, I'm not a member, so I don't think I can be here. And I thought, oh my gosh, lady, just, you know, I mean, whatever, that was her backstory, and that was what she wanted people to understand. But she seemed like a really nice lady anyway. But I just kept thinking, if someone wants you to be a member and you're shouting and hollering that you're not a member, that's probably not a way to get into the class. So it was just very, very interesting, and it made me think about other situations that I've been in where I've just been slowly told that somehow because I'm different, I'm lesser. And I wonder out there in the listening audience if other people have had those experiences. And we also know in terms of bullying and victims that often the people who have been bullied the worst but have a lot of unconscious content aren't able to deal with it, aren't able to look at whatever has happened to them, have to keep it down, have to keep it down in their psyche, so they can't address it directly. We know that those people often re-offend and often become bullies or perpetrators themselves. And so this really means that on some level, in order to attain a more evolved awareness and to have an increased empathy for not only victims, but also to a certain extent for bullies, you know, for everyone on that continuum of how they experience that, we have to have a deeper awareness engaged about what our experience has been. And it was just so interesting because I thought, wow, I know what's happening. I get it, and I've never gotten it before. Because I think one thing about people who are unwitting victims or become unwitting victims of people who want to stand, who don't understand the distinction between power that comes from within, from the authentic self, right, from the third chakra, and people who struggle with a definition of power that comes from without or that comes from doing certain things and receiving accolades or fitting in a group or this sort of thing, that those people who struggle with that sort of thing really don't, it is harder for them to evolve. It is harder for them And maybe it's just that they've experienced such painful experiences that to remember them would be so catastrophic that they can't do it. But we know that we're able to shift our perspective when we can start to identify for ourselves, use labels, and sometimes labels are not a good thing because they codify us and they limit us, but sometimes labels are an important and good thing to use, and it's important to be able to say, this person is a bully. I get what's happening here. There's a devaluing going on of one part of the group. And, I mean, it's just really important to be able to do that from an internal space. And I have not usually been able to do that. Like I said, I have usually been the unwitting recipient of being bullied because I've been giving the benefit of the doubt to someone. And we're taught often in our culture, and often as women, right, to give our power away and not to stand up in the face of a bully and say, I get what's going on here. I understand what's going on here. And I can say, I'm staying, and I'm going to put up with it, but I've got my eye on you, or I can, you know, split and go to higher ground, go to a space where there's better energy around. But I've just never had the experience myself where I have been right there and going, I get what's going on. It's starting. It's the very beginning of it, but I've got it. I understand what's beginning to happen here. And the reason I didn't is because I had so much unconscious content and it was so painful that it was hard for me to observe, right? We know that our third chakra, our solar plexus chakra, is all about being able to clearly observe what's happening, being able to reality test, which means we're able to see what's actually happening from the perspective of how a lot of people would see it. Well, this is an interesting issue because sometimes with bullying and sociology, we're taught not to see a bully, but that's another lens, and that has more to do with our culture as being a Western culture and a culture that is often not very compassionate. But we know that the more that we get clear about what's true for us and the more that we have it mirrored by people in our community, the more that we're able to see that clearly for ourselves. So it was just a very, very interesting experience of going, I get it. And I'm going to go back Thursday because I still may want to be in the class. I got to kind of vibe it out and see if I can handle that energy and how it feels to me, and also if I'm going to be let in. But I'm definitely going to go back on Thursday. There's a part of me that's a little scared, honestly, because it's been hard for me in the past to hold my reaction in the face of injustice. And so I wonder if when I go back in, if she just says, I'm sorry, you're out, and she won't give me any information that feels valid, if there'll be a part of me that will be angry and frustrated. And I'm more concerned about dealing with my reaction to that angry and frustrated part than I am not being allowed in the class, which tells you energetically where, you know, how this issue is playing out for me and how the shifting has happened and occurred. But I encourage you to look at your own experience with feeling like a victim. Is that something that you've internalized? Is it something that you use languaging in your life to reinforce? I was around someone the other day who kept saying over and over again, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And I kept saying, oh, no, there's nothing to apologize for. And, oh, no, that's fine, you know. Because I wanted to make this person aware that they were using this language. Because sometimes we can say, I'm sorry, as instead of saying, excuse me, or that sort of thing. And that's a shame-based response. That's a response where we're told on some level, or we've internalized this idea that we have something to be sorry for if we don't agree. That's a shame-based response. And so just I ask you to look at your own experiences and notice if you've internalized some of those shame-based responses. And if you have a tendency to look down, if you have trouble confronting people in authority and telling your own story about what's true, then you may have some issues with shame, and you may have some issues with internalizing the stance of a victim. I know I have at certain points in my life. And I want to talk about the fact that as I'm having this discussion, I don't want to demonize any of these archetypes or any of these stories that we tell. People do atrocious things unconsciously, and they do atrocious things consciously sometimes. They do atrocious things, you know, some people have sociopathic behaviors, and they do things, and they get, you know, they get a charge out of it. But I want to encourage you to know that on the continuum, all of these archetypes, whether victim, bully, all of these, you know, even to a certain extent, the idea of being conscious of hurting someone and getting a little charge out of it, that's something that happens when we're little kids, you know, and we get in sibling rivalries and we want someone to get it. Now, I mean, obviously there are levels to these things, but the more that we have increased awareness and we have empathy, the more we can stand in our truth and we can say, ah, I do not want to be the recipient of bullying, but I have empathy for the story, the backstory that this person has experienced that's gotten them to this place. So I encourage you to look at your own story about victim and to notice if you've internalized some of those things, if you have a tendency to look around in a group and want to make sure that the group is with you, if it's important to you to do that, if it's important to you to be anonymous and not have your own perspective seen or valued. You may, to a certain extent, in a group, on a group level, identify with the perspective, with the archetype of victim. And you can look at this in terms of different roles in your life. You know, have you been a victim in your romantic relationships? Many of us have. I have a story of being, you know, and I think many women have a story of having been in an abusive relationship. Have you been a victim in terms of your work life? And you know, as we get more conscious about these stories that we're telling and we get more choiceful, we get more empowered in the ways that we tell them, we have more ability to make different choices and to say no with more clarity and to say yes with more clarity in our lives. So there's nothing to be shamed or guilty about if you know, if you've even been a bully. I mean, because of the roles that I've played and because I've been often a victim and struggled with the archetype of scapegoat in my life, I have not been a bully a lot. But there was one situation where I was absolutely a bully. I think I was in the fifth grade, and I consciously, because I wanted to know what it felt like to hurt someone. I mean, I guess that's the best that I can say. I taunted this boy into crying, and it's the only time I think I've ever done it, something like that consciously. And I said, I don't like this. This doesn't feel good. But, you know, I was stepping into those shoes and saying, huh, what's it feel like? I've been in these shoes. I've been bullied and I've been victimized. What does it feel like to be on the other end of it? And it felt really bad. It felt wrong. It felt hurtful. It felt painful. I could feel his pain because I identified with him. But if we have internalized that place of being bullied because it's been hard for us to take ownership of our own story, you might step into that place and feel empowered. And that's what I think probably was happening for this woman today who was running the water aerobics class. She was getting a charge out of being able to keep some people out of the group and on the other side of the line. So I encourage you to notice energetically where you are around these archetypes, and also to notice that if it is less important for you to identify with one or the other, less important for you to identify with the idea of a bully, because we know that there can be bullies in groups, right? There can be groups of bullies. I'm actually watching, well, I'm sure you guys are familiar with the show, RuPaul's Drag Race, which I find to be fascinating. Well, just because I think RuPaul is just amazing. Like, I love him, and not because he's a drag queen. I mean, he's a wonderful drag queen, and he's beautiful and powerful and marvelous, but it's not because of that. It's because, well, for one thing, it's because he's just so empowered as a person. All you have to do is look at his eyes to know that energetically he is so, so empowered, and that when he, when you get together with him, when you hang out with him, you know, he's a drag queen and he does this and he does that and that's his job. But man, he has wisdom in his eyes. He's had many, many experiences that are very, very diverse. So anyway, I'm diverging, but the point is that I'm watching the show. And I've been watching it, and I love the show because so many of the people, so many of the drag queens are so, they're so cool, and they've created this culture outside of the regular culture, right, where they have their own languaging, and they have their own way of being with each other, and they have their own way of understanding their rituals and their experiences. And I've just always been fascinated all my life by subcultures, any subculture, just because they have their own ways of doing things. And that's fascinating to me, that they have created their own culture within the dominant culture. But there's one drag queen, I'm not going to remember his name now, he's from Puerto Rico and he was on season 3, and I just loved him because he has the biggest heart in the world. He would never hurt a single soul, and people love him because they love his performances, because they can feel his heart emanating out. And it's not Carmen Carrera. It's I'm not going to remember him. He's kind of a more old-fashioned drag queen, more of the kind that is, you know, he's out of Florida. He does pageants and that sort of thing. But I've been watching the show, and I've just been fascinated with it and thoroughly enjoying it and thoroughly enjoying the subculture and thoroughly enjoying the interplay of the group and the roles that all of the men, women play. And but the last season, man, it's horrible, and it was really depressing me. It's the fourth season, and they have another show associated with it called Tucked or something like that, which is the drag queens fighting backstage. And the whole energy of the show is different, and my thought is that it's different because there's been, you know, because there's stereotypes about drag queens, and they're all mean, and they're all catty, and they're all, you know, like this sort of thing. And so there's a certain amount of pressure on the networks to conform to the stereotypes so that the audience that listens to it can get their reinforcement about what drag culture is about. And so it's just really interesting because there's this other show, and it's horrible. It's just horrible. But the other thing about it that's funny is the fourth season, which I'm watching, and I might watch the rest of it, and I really might not, because it was starting to depress me, because the guys in the show, or the ladies in the show, they like to be called ladies when they're drag queens, the ladies in the show aren't nice to each other. They haven't bonded in this way. They're mean, and they're underhanded, and they're hurtful. And it's just so sad to me to see that this group is so different. And I wonder, too, if energetically they were this lower energy guys, and so they were able to create this other show, this Tucked show, because they fit that stereotype. And so they just thought, ah, well, you know, we have a captive audience for this. They're already behaving this way, so let's just do this other piece, you know. I wonder if the network maybe didn't realize that they had that in the group. But it was really funny because the other day, I've been having a couple really, really good days, and then the other day I just had this sense of depression and sadness when I thought about watching another show. And normally that might be a little unconscious to me because I get on these things where I'll watch all this stuff different kinds of things. Usually it has a cultural component or a sociological component, or it's a documentary series, because that's what I'm into. But it was just funny because I was able to put it together, and I went, ah, okay, it's that show. And it's not the whole show. It's season four. And it took the energy right out of me, because this group, for some reason, haven't bonded in a way that's loving and supportive of the group. And so it's just interesting. So I just encourage you, again, to just really notice for yourself where you are around these archetypes, and notice if you need to project onto the other group, whether it's a bully or a victim, how strong that need is, and if you use labels associated with it. Victims are always disempowered. Victims are always poor. Victims are always underhanded. Victims are always women. Victims are always, you can just do this, and you can notice energetically if it's easy for you to do, or if you say, no, some victims are empowered in some ways, but they're not empowered in other ways. Or some victims are women, but there are also all sorts of different groups of people who sometimes become victimized, and sometimes people in a more dominant cultural role can become victimized too. Now do it with bully. Bullies are always totally lacking in compassion. Bullies are always men. Bullies are always military people. Bullies are always whatever it would be. Just go through any stereotype about what might be determined to be that, and notice energetically where you line up. Could there be men who aren't bullies, who are wonderful, wonderful people who are compassionate and connected with their feminine side? Could there be bullies who are not not compassionate in every way, but maybe in one way have not been able to be compassionate beings? So notice energetically where you line up around these stereotypes, because that will tell you a lot about how entrenched your complex content, your alignment is with the archetype. And the more that you can extend empathy, which, remember, empathy does not mean support. You can have empathy for someone who's a bully. Like, I can have empathy for the woman today who was our water aerobics instructor. Might not mean that I want to continue to take her class. Might not mean that I reinforce some of the things that she's doing. Might mean that I have my own story when I encounter her. But if we have no empathy, then we know energetically that we're in a place where we have complex content. We have stuff to deal with ourselves. So I'm going to leave you with that. I don't have more to share this evening, but I did want to talk about these things that happened today, because it was really funny, too, because I got done with the class, and there she was standing with the clipboard, and I thought, oh, if I go over there, she's going to say, you're out. And I thought, okay, I'm not going to go over there. I'll deal with it on Thursday, and I'll see what happens, because I didn't want to reinforce the whole story, and I thought, well, I'll just go away from it. And instead I went out and I walked, and I walked about, I don't know, it was about a mile and a half to get to the bus, and it was just beautiful. It was just such a beautiful day, and I thought, I'm going to take this energy and I'm going to give it back to myself. I'm not going to reinforce this story, and I'm not going to engage with this person anymore. And I'll come fresh on Thursday and see what will happen. But so I encourage you in the next week to notice energetically when you're around someone who has the energy of a bully or has the energy of a victim. And notice what it does in you as well. Notice what it triggers in you. And that will help you to connect with where you're at energetically around these archetypes. Can you extend empathy, but not necessarily support? Can you Can you move beyond your black and white labeling of the situation? And the more that you notice these stories, the more that you'll notice energetically where you're at on your own continuum. And the other thing I want to say is it can change from moment to moment. It's not always that we always see a bully this way and we always see a victim this way. You know, we may have much more compassion around someone's story having to do with relationships, some we do around work and work choices, or around health, and that will tell us as well energetically what's triggering us around these archetypes of the bully and the victim. So I hope it's been an enlightening hour and it's helped you to sort out some of your own story and reclaim some of your own power. Thanks so much for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening. And who will be on? Oh, yes, right. Abigail Eaton Masters will be on with us next week. So can't wait to have you join us then. And have a great evening, guys.
We're like poets that we never find time to know. But when time stopped, I found the place where the bully yet go.
Whatever you do between now and next week, go and make magic, feel magic, create magic, imbue magic, tell magical stories. That's what we're here for. Take care, everybody. Bye now.